Go hour number two. We're gonna go to big city in Southern California, somewhere in there, with Jordan Maxwell on the mic right now. Are you there, Jordan?
Yes, I am. Frank, nice to be with you again.
Thank you. Always good to share some time with you. You have a worldwide following of people who truly care about the enormous, really incalculable contribution you've made to all of us over the last 50-plus years now. You were the first, if you don't know Jordan Maxwell, folks, if you're new to the program, Jordan was the first man to really understand how the control machine, the mechanism, the device, how they run the planet, and how they have mocked us for centuries and centuries with their symbolism, and how even today symbolism is literally thrown in our face with reckless abandon and utter contempt. They just don't care. They know they've got the sheep on the run. There's no pushback. They don't care anymore. There used to be an effort at being stealthy about things. No way. Not anymore. All they do is repeat the same lies on the Zionist-owned media over and over again. And as you know, when you watch television, within a few seconds, you are put into a trance, an altered consciousness, where you no longer have the ability to discern and make moral judgments on what's going into your mind. It goes right into your subconscious. It pours in there, uncontested, and you're programmed. And so they know that. And they've got computer simulations. We've talked about that. They have a virtual planet Earth, fully live, fully real, but in a virtual reality. And they can program any kind of scenario they want into that computer and get back a result, plus or minus 1% or 2%. That's my projection, but I believe that to be the case. You got to go back to the 20s and Bernays and then Tavistock to know that this is a science. It is not a guessing game.
Well, you got that right. I don't know what I could add to it because that's exactly right. And you know, the thing that we talked about so many times before is how the populace just sucks it up. People just accept it, and they're too busy.
They don't contest anything, Jordan.
Nothing.
That was the
nothing.
Word. Nothing. It's just all input. And remember, the whole paradigm of individual achievement now has been replaced with groupthink, groupspeak, and hive behavior. That's what they want, and that's what they've got.
Absolutely. That's what they have, and it's everywhere. It's the herd mentality, And you'll be surprised how many people email me and call me from quite literally around the world, and everybody is saying the same thing, almost word for word.
Are they really?
Time.
This is interesting. So they're programmed. This is a global programming effort, basically.
Yes, and I'm getting it from Middle East, from young people, teenagers, and young college types, from Lebanon, the UAE, from Saudi Arabia, a lot of young people in the Middle East and in Africa in general. It's an incredible amount of people which are emailing me today, mm-hmm. and a lot of young people, and they're saying the same thing all over the world, that they keep commenting about how humanity has lost its humanity. They tell me the people are like drones. They're like robotic people who have no souls. And some young people in UAE was saying the people seem to have no soul. They have no validity to them. They're just plastic. They go by and operate on on what's the word they react to things like an animal. They have no reason. They have no logic. Seem to have no intelligence for anything. And so I'm hearing this all over the world. And also with that, a lot of people are saying, I've come to the point where I can't talk to people around me any longer. It doesn't work. People just look at me and stare at me. And so I'm seeing very, very pronouncedly, I'm seeing some kind of a division working its way now on the earth between those who are actually human beings, who actually have emotions and feelings like the old world, like we grew up in, as opposed to the masses and masses of millions of people who don't, you know, who don't seem to even have their humanity left. They're just there. You know, they're they came into the world because they were born. They have no reason for being there. They don't know what they're doing.
They're kind of like an empty vessel. We talked, and I've mentioned this before, so have others, but many of them are rather like they have no soul. They're soulless.
That's what I'm saying.
They're three-dimensional. They act like normal people, but there's some incredible vacancy inside them.
That's exactly right. It's just, you look at them and you know that, you know, that when they look at you, there's no humanity behind the eyes. There's no human relationships and being able to talk one to the other.
Well, they're not quite dead-eyed, but they're real close. There's just nothing. Depth there.
No depth at all. And if you start talking about something of real importance, they just stare at you, you know, with glassy eyes and trying to figure out what are you doing? What are you talking about? So, you know, that's where I've come across. But I'm really kind of happy, though, that I'm getting a lot of response from people who are, you know, who have not lost their humanity and who have not lost track of their spirit. And are grounded, and there's a lot of people out there like that. So that's the people I want to talk to and to be there for, is to help those people who want to know. And there's a lot of good people out in the world. And I just think about all the beautiful children and the families and the young families that have no idea in the world what they're facing. And that's why I do what I do, to help try and as stealthily as possible, try and educate people to what's going on without getting myself thrown into prison. So I'm trying to do what I can to open their people's eyes and do it, you know, as carefully as I can. So walking, like you, we're walking a very tight rope, trying to awaken the world to what's going on. So we just do what we can and see where it goes. But I do believe that those people who are supposed to hear will, and those people who are not supposed to won't. And so since I'm not in control of anything, I just do the best I can with what I've got and see where it all goes. But I do see that there is some kind of a change taking place in the world. And I'm really...
Jordan, quantify change. Now, there are people who are certainly waking up. But beyond that, what kind of a change are you talking about?
I think that there's a growing division happening on the earth that... the people who are awake and grounded and spiritually awake are experiencing, although they don't necessarily understand and realize the severity of it, that there is some kind of a growing, it's very difficult to explain, but there are so many people that are awakening and who are human and who do have emotions and feelings about the world, and they're concerned about what's going on. So, and slowly but surely, there's some kind of a war going on between those who don't care, couldn't care less, and those who do. And so it's some kind of a revolution afoot on the earth. And it's kind of like those old sci-fi movies, like Body snatchers. Remember the old 1950s, the body snatchers, where they, once you've been taken over, you have to go to sleep, was the theme of the movie. You've got to go to sleep before they can take you over. Well, that's true. I mean, once you go to sleep, you don't even see anything happening anymore. And then one day you wake up and find out the world is in the hands of the dark side, and you fell right into it. And so, you know, I see that happening. As far as change, I think the only thing I meant by that is I see some kind of a crisis of conscience, a crisis happening on the earth now, where people who are awake are now waking up to the fact that they are very few, that they are the minority, and they're becoming very afraid. What is the world turning out to be?
Oh, they're in the less than 5% that really get it, or even a piece of the whole thing.
God, that's scary. That's frightening.
Well, they should be frightened.
Yeah,
that's a normal response when they're outnumbered 95 to 5 or whatever it is.
Yeah, it is. And that's why I've said to you so many times that I feel like trying to help the human family to awaken is like trying to empty the Pacific with a cup, because the tsunami of profound ignorance and people who really just don't care.
Too true.
And this, you know, this leads me to something else that we've talked about this before.
Hold on, Jordan. Hold that thought, will you? We got to take a break.
Okay.
Hold that. Don't lose your thought. We'll come right back. Emptying the Pacific with a cup. That's a very, very good analogy. All right, we'll be right back. Okay, back with Jordan. All right, that thought, Jordan, please continue.
Well, I was just thinking, whoever has brought us about, and we're talking about God, we're talking about the creation of the human family, and there's no doubt in my mind that we are a creation. We didn't just happen. Computers don't just happen. You know, one eye does not evolve and wait 10 million years for another eye to develop. The human system is too profoundly, brilliantly put together. And it, not only that, but the whole entire ecosystem on the Earth and how it relates to the rest of the solar system and all the planets and all the entire of creation just begs for explanation, that something is in charge of us. And there's too much synchronicity, too many things have happened that we know that there has to be, and there is a higher power in the universe that wise men have always understood to be the creator and whatever. And I'm thinking, whatever it is that has brought us about on this earth must be watching the destruction of its creation. And I don't believe, I understand the coming and going of life and the destruction and the reestablishing of societies and all of that in ancient history. But right now we are in a position where I'm wondering if there is somebody out there who has created us, if they are watching what is going on the human race, to the human race, because we are now in a state of arrested development.
All right, we're deconstructing. Would this be a benevolent overlord creator, or a benign, or something else that is not innocuous, that is rather evil in its intent? Did they create us as a joke and abandon us? What? Who are these? What is this consciousness?
Well, you're right. You're right. Those are all very good questions. I tend to feel that someone came here, because this is what basically the Bible is saying, and I think it's right. My gut feeling is that what's actually in fact being said in the Old Testament, first few pages of the Old Testament in Genesis, is probably actually based on something very, very true, but it's been misrepresented and misunderstood. Because what the Bible is actually saying is that there are, we've been told that the Jews and the Hebrews, well, the ancient Hebrews, were first monotheistic people. Well, no such a thing ever existed. There was no monotheistic Hebrews ever.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about that. Because the people we call the ancient Hebrews, which are actually ancient Phoenicians and Canaanites, who today we refer to them as Hebrews, but they're actually Canaanites. They they had many gods, and all of the ancient Middle East and Egypt and that whole area of the world gave birth to hundreds of different gods. And so this whole idea of one God that's created the whole universe, I don't have any problem with that. But what I'm saying is that the Hebrew religion, the Islamic religion, the Christian religion, is totally, totally misunderstanding and misapplying everything. And so in the Old Testament, basically it's saying, as I've told you before, in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But that's not what it says in the original text, because in Hebrew, the word for God is El, E-L, which incidentally was also a word that was given to the planet Saturn. Saturn was also called El. That's a whole different story, but this is why there's a connection between the planet Saturn and the Hebrew people and the old Phoenician Canaanite peoples that we call Hebrew. And this is and Saturn's one of the most important symbols for that ancient god Saturn in the Middle East was a six-pointed star. We call it a hexagram. But the hexagram or the Star of David, there was no David, so there was no Star of David. The hexagram has been used by the ancient peoples of the ancient world, by God, going all the way back to Hindus and all the ancient cultures in the ancient East used that six-pointed star to represent the planet Saturn.
The swastika, so-called swastika, goes way back also.
Yeah, that's the sun symbol, and the broken the legs broken on it imply that the sun is walking across the sky, and that's why you have.
Oh, that's fascinating! A little stick man.
That's right, a little stick man walking across the sky, and that's what it meant. That's where it came from, and so originally they said that the sun walked across the sky and 12 steps, and his name was Horus.
That's where the 12 came from.
Yeah, the 12 steps of the 12 Horus.
And we still have a dozen eggs.
Well, of course, and you have 12 jurors on the jury.
And a baker's dozen. Wow.
It's fascinating. When you go back to where things began, and so Horus was the sun god, who walked across the sky in 12 steps. So when it was when the sun comes up in the morning, that was called Horus of the first step. And so he walked across the sky in 12 equal steps. And so they were called 12 Horuses. Well, Horus is H-O-R-U-S. We change it to H-O-U-R-S. Just change the R-U to U-R.
12 Horuses.
12 hours.
12 Horuses, 24 Horuses in a day. I got
it. Exactly. Or the Horus, H-O-R-U-S, because H-O-U-R-S, 12 hours.
Of course. Yep.
And so the sun is, is walking across the sky, and the sun represents light. It's the light of the world, and so light in Latin is Lucius, comes from Lucius. And so this is why in Star Wars you have Luke Skywalker. because Luke Skywalker is the sun walking across the sky to meet his evil brother at night. At night, called the Prince of Darkness. The Prince of Darkness in the movie was Darth Vader. And so, George Lucas is just trying to explain something to you. It's all ancient mythology, and this is what the Hebrews have brought into the world. The Jews have brought this into the world and given us what we call the Jewish religion, which is actually the worship of the planet Saturn. And there was a time in the ancient Hebrew history of those ancient people when they worshipped the moon also. Mm-hmm.
When we come back after
that before.
Right. When we come back after the break, I want you to tell us more about El and how that spirals into all kinds of things. El. Very interesting. Back with the master, Jordan Maxwell, after this. Okay, and we're back with Jordan. All right, Jordan, El. The planet Saturn used to be known as El. Now, what's amazing to me, if you look at, any of you look at Saturn with the naked eye, I defy any of you to tell me you can see rings up there. Yeah, I don't think it's possible. So how did the ancients know there were rings?
Oh, yeah. That's a very good question. And why is there a hexagram, a six-pointed hexagram on the north pole of Saturn? That's another one, too, for you.
I mean, that is.
Yeah, a hexagram on Saturn. And I sent you an email just now.
I'm looking at it.
I was going to talk about how the name for God is the word God in Hebrew is E-L-L. But the God of the ancient Saturnian people that we call the Hebrews was they said that his name was four letters, which today we refer to it. The spelling of God's name is called the Tetragrammaton, and it's the Tetragrammaton, A-T-O-N, Tetragrammaton,
like Aton.
Aton was a son. Mm-hmm. In Egypt, the Aton was a sun in Egypt. So that's why you have the four letters of the Hebrew alphabet put together for the name of God, and they call that the Tetragram Aton. And when you take those four letters in the Hebrew and put them together in a configuration, in a circle, they become a swastika. And I just sent you a picture of that.
I see it identically. Now, for you folks, just imagine a swastika, if you will, and take the four arms and pull them directly away from center. Pull the top one up, pull the left one to the left, pull the right one to the right, and then you've got an open space in the middle. And you have, basically,
right,
if you look at it, you'll have four L's in a circle. L, 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 L. And in the center would be a circle. Now you have something else in the center on this drawing.
And this is not my drawing. This is from a Jewish reference work.
But that's the point, that these four L's make the swastika, and it stands for the sun walking across the sky. How interesting.
Mm-hmm. And so the Hebrews were involved in sun worship. They were involved in moon worship. They were involved in Saturnian or Saturn worship. They've been involved in the worship of Jupiter. It's very interesting when you go back into the history of the Phoenician Canaanite people that we today call Hebrews. And see, the Hebrew language is not an exclusive language. This is what people have no idea about, that the Hebrew, when we talk about speaking the Hebrew language, When, first of all, there is no such a thing as a Hebrew language, period. There is a Phoenician Canaanite language, which we call Hebrew. And the reason why is because the people we call Hebrew speak this language, and it's a Phoenician Canaanite language, but the Hebrews speak it. So we say, well, it's Hebrew. No, it's not Hebrew. It's Phoenician Canaanite. It's a Phoenician language, but the Hebrews speak it. So understanding that, now you can go into the ancient Phoenician Canaanite gods and see how the Hebrews have brought those ancient Phoenician Canaanite pagan gods into the modern-day world, and the symbolism, the occult symbolism of the swastika, the five-pointed star, the pentagram, the symbols on the synagogues, the symbol of in Islam and Mecca, that goes back to the old Saturnian symbol for the Saturn in the ancient Arabic world. Islam is nothing more than the worship of the planet of Saturn, and the Mecca is the old black square, and anybody who's done any research on the ancient god Saturn knows that that was one of the symbols in the Arabic world for the planet Saturn, was a black square, and it was called the Kaaba, which was a black cube, and there's a whole study of the black cube, the black square, in relation to the planet Saturn. And there's a whole study going on about the connection between the tetragrammaton, name for God in Hebrew, going back to the swastika. And so many of the, most people don't realize that 4/5 of all the Jews on the earth are not Semitic. That's another big subject of mine I'm just amazed that people use terms that they don't understand. But 4/5 of the Jews on the earth are not Semitic to start with. They're called Ashkenazi, N-A-Z-I, Ashkenazi. so there's a definite connection between the ancient Semitic peoples, the ancient Sumerian peoples, I mean to say, ancient Sumerians, the ancient Hindus, the sun god Aton in Egypt, and how all of this stuff has evolved over and mutated over the centuries, over thousands of years. It's mutated, evolved, and comes to us today as the Hebrew religion, the Islamic religion of Muhammad, the Christian religion. All of these ancient religions come from the same source. It goes back into an ancient world of occultism, mysticism, and that's why today that judging by their fruits you shall know them. So what is the fruitage of this ancient, hidden occult religious symbolism of the tetragrammaton of Yahweh, of Jehovah, of Allah, of Jesus? What is the real story behind the three major religions of the world? They're called the people of the book, because all three major religions require a book, and so they're referred to as the people of the book. And what is the bottom line on the religion of the people of the book, Islam, Judaism, and Christianity, if it isn't the lunacy and the mind-boggling stupidity and ignorance that is displayed all over the world? People are killing each other over ancient pagan gods that they have no idea in the world where these ideas and concepts have come from.
Yeah. And so,
I'm just amazed.
It is true, and so easily manipulated into killing each other. Just a joke.
That's right.
A joke. All right, we'll take another break here and come back with Jordan Maxwell in just a minute. Elohim.
Elohim. Yep. Genesis 1:1 says in English, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But as I said, that's not what it says in the original. It says, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth, not El. Elohim. Elohim is not El. It's El with a plural. So the correct translation should be, in the beginning, the gods created the heavens and the earth. And so, you know, this, we've talked about this before, but I think it's very important because it implies that there's something going on here, and you're misunderstanding God. You're misunderstanding what God is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that's why in Genesis 1:28, when God is creating, you know, Adam and Eve, it says, and God said, come, let us make man in our image after our likeness.
Mm-hmm. It's right there.
Right there. Come, mm-hmm. let us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, to come, let us means that somebody is asking for a consensus among a group. You know,
yeah, a committee. No wonder they screwed up so badly.
Yeah. And that's why I'm thinking that if it, like rabbi, like my rabbi friend told me many years ago, read it correctly. It doesn't say God created man. Doesn't mm-hmm. say that in the Bible anywhere, God created man. What it says is that God said, come, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Not make man, let us make him in our image. And now, then a couple of scriptures later said, now see, and now man has become as one of us. He's like one of us now. Why? Because now he's smart, he's clever, he's writing poetry and building rockets and lasers and television. See, man has become as one of us. Very clever, very smart. And now look what you've done. You've created a mess, because look at them. Now they're trying to play God. They're getting ready to go out into space and bring their bombs, and so now they have become like us. And then, of course, in Genesis 9:1, or after the flood, God says to Noah and his family, after the flood, they come out, and God says, go forth, multiply, and replenish the earth. And I asked a rabbi, is that a correct translation? He said, yes, the word is replenished in the Bible. So replenish means do it again. Well, that's obviously, if there were people on the earth and a flood came and wiped them all away, then if you're going to have people, you're going to have to replenish, do it again. And, of course, in Genesis 1:28, when God's creating Adam and Eve, he says the same thing, go forth, multiply, and replenish the earth. But what it's saying is that Adam and Eve were not the first, not the first couple at all. It's let us make man in our image and replenish the earth. Do it again. So I'm just saying that we need to find out what's really going on here. Mm-hmm. How did we humans get here? What is this thing about God?
Right.
And then you get all of these other silly, nonsensical religious programs that is just a mockery.
It's just wacko.
Totally wacko. Yep.
Yeah. Well, the question I have is, have we as a species been here before and blown it? And I think the answer is yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't be a bit surprised. I think, I'll tell you one other thing that is an absolute fact that very few people realize. And that is that the earth has been the home to enormous, incredible civilizations of extraordinarily high technology that we can't even begin to figure out that technology. The earth has been the home to thousands of civilizations, probably hundreds of millions of years ago, hundreds of millions of years ago. And we know that there's been artifacts found on the earth and strata, which is 3.5 billion years old.
Oh, yeah.
So this earth is not what you think it is. This place has been the home of some extraordinarily brilliant civilizations hundreds of millions of years ago. So And then that begs the question, well, what is really going on here? Who is God? You know, where do we really come from? I think I would conclude by saying I believe that we are being led on the earth today, the human family is being led by an extraterrestrial dark force that's come to this earth maybe a long time ago, maybe recently within the last 10,000 years. But whatever it is, it's highly intelligent, whoever they are or wherever they've come from. And they are profoundly, in our system of thinking, they are profoundly evil. They don't seem, whoever these entities are, they do not seem to care a damn about the human race. They care
only
for themselves.
Not about life or death, no more than we would care about ants.
That's it. And so I think that there's something going on here that I know that there's, for lack of a better term, alien life forms here. You know, the Christians call them good and bad angels, demons and devils and poltergeists, and or whatever they are, they're in a different dimension, and they're very, very evil. And they are taking over the earth, and so that's why I said in the beginning, I'm kind of wondering what is the creators of the human race, what are they going to do about what's going on? Because the whole human race today has been put under arrest. We cannot grow, we cannot move, we cannot do anything. The whole human race is under arrest. And if someone from out there does not come to save us, then we are not able to do it ourselves. So I don't know what's going to happen to the human family.
No, we are not able, and we are being disabled every day, every week, every month, more and more.
Right. Yep. And so I don't know what to think of this. I as I've told you before so many times, I feel that somebody is watching us. And ultimately, there's going to be some kind of a confrontation between they who have created us and given us our earth and given us life, as opposed to whoever has come in to destroy the creation. I think that there is someone from somewhere have come here, and they are hell-bent on destroying human life, destroying everything that's decent and honorable on the earth. Completely destroying it, and we are seeing it happening right now in front of us. And I think that whoever this is doing it is also having a plans on mutating and changing the whole human race. They're going to evolve us and mutate us into a whole different kind of human creature, and completely destroying the original humanity that we were supposed to have and that we had many, many years ago.
I think you're right. And what they seem to be doing, or whatever the process is called, it is extracting the humanness from human beings and humanity.
That's right.
And it's creating automatons. Well, remember the Eloi? Of course you do.
Absolutely.
And, submissive.
And a time machine.
Fools. Just cannon fodder, just Soylent Green, just food.
That's it. And that's what we have now. Everywhere you go, people are just by the millions and millions of people just wandering aimlessly. No one knows where they're going. They don't know where they've come from. They have no grounding, no spiritual grounding. They have no education. They have no idea in the world what's going on and how to save themselves. And you know, that's why I've said people are like the animals out in the Serengeti plains of Africa. The animals out there have no idea in the world that lions are creeping up on them. And when the lions finally, they're organized, the lions are, and when they finally make their move, all the animals stampede and stamp over each other and kill each other trying to get out of the way.
And what's going on here is they're removing... Not literally, but they're moving in such a way that they're just taking a few at a time, a few at a time. It's not the big rollover. People still think, oh, I'm all right, I'm fine. It's somebody else. But that's not the way it works. They take a few
that's
more
right.
sheep at a time, and pretty soon the flock is gone.
You know? That's it. That's exactly what's happening. You know, just keep turning up the heat little by little by little, and one day it's all going to come home. Yep. And one day you wake up and you find out what's really been going on, and it's way too late. Should have woke up a long time ago.
Well, the point of no return is long gone. That's the sad truth. They had this thing wrapped up completely, probably close to 100 years ago.
I've always said that the United States of America was finished in the 1840s, 1850s. It was totally finished with the coming of the Communist Manifesto in Europe and moving the whole communist world movement into America and the international workers of the world and destroying our base of our government and Declaration of Independence and our Constitution and all that. It's all gone. And so that, but it was all gone back in the 1850s, and that's why you ended up with a civil war.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing has ever been the same since.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm totally, mm-hmm. I think you're right. I don't really see any light at the end of the tunnel.
No,
except
we have to go.
The possibility of someone intervening in our affairs.
We can only hope. I still go back to Robert Wise's brilliant film, 1951, The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the ultimatum is the only thing that's going to work. Somebody's going to have to give this planet an ultimatum. But I'm afraid there's been a deal made at the highest levels of control.
Yeah, I kind of think so, too.
That ultimatum is not going to happen.
Yeah,
I think the ultimatum givers are basically pulling the strings of the human controllers. So I don't
know. I think you're right. Yeah.
Maybe somebody from another world, another civilization, another galaxy will show up and do it. But
Who knows? I hope something will happen because something big is getting ready to happen.
You
can feel it coming.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Indeed. Thank you, Jordan.
Well, thank
Always
you.
Great to talk to you, and we'll do it soon.
Okay. Thanks
okay.
again.
Night.
Bye-bye.
Jordan Maxwell, the one and only. Okay. Time to take a break, and we'll be back.